But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Good morning and welcome back to the God School. That is the sixth verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. A literal translation of the Greek would read, without now faith. Folks, at the God School, we teach, as the Word declares, without faith it is impossible to please Him. The Word of God declares that we walk by faith, not by sight. We live by faith. Faith is acting on the promises of God. That is, and those are found in what we call the Word of God. And this verse declares that God is a rewarder of King James translation, of them that diligently seek him. An alternative translation is those that investigate. We're going to do some investigating today because as we open up the Word of God, and look at what he said, and we do it with the understanding that God is faithful, and this whole book is a revelation of God's faithfulness, not a religious book. Not a book of religion, a book revealing God to us. I'm exercised this morning. This happens to be September 9th. On the Hebrew calendar, it is that which is called Rosh Hashanah. It is the Feast of Trumpets. It is, as we shall see, the day the only begotten Son of God took upon himself flesh. It is the day, by God's calendar, by God's declaration, by God's faithfulness, by God's set time, that Jesus Christ was born. let's do some investigating. I want you to open your Bibles to the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And I want you to go to the fifth verse. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. Underline that word, Abia. And the eighth verse, it says, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, underline the words, in the order of his course. This takes some investigating, folks. You got to, open up your mind and your spirit as God's faithfulness is revealed. If we go to 1 Chronicles, the 24th chapter, we will read in the 10th verse, the 24th chapter, the divisions of the sons of Aaron, those who are to minister before God, are to serve in a particular order. And we begin that order as God begins the spiritual new year dating from Passover. And we read in the 10th verse, and the seventh to Hakos, and the eighth to Abia. Now, if you have a King James Bible like I do, you have a little different spelling of the name Abia, because one is Greek, one is Hebrew. Stay with me. Let's not... disannul the word of God because of a difference in spelling. This is the same order. It says at that time, as he was serving in his order, the eighth, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife, Elizabeth, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have great joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elias. Now, this is Elijah. Confirmation of we're not disannulling God's word for a difference in spelling, Greek from Hebrew. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The word prepared means ordained. It means covered daily. It means before and beyond. It means separated from before. I'm talking to that kind of people. If you have ears to hear what God's word is saying. It says in the 23rd verse, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife conceived. I kind of like it. It says, as soon as the day of his ministration were accomplished, he got this news that he and his wife, who was old and barren, and he was old, who were without child up till that time, were going to conceive. He got that news. He got pretty happy. Let's put flesh and blood on this. Man, he ran home. And it says, after those days, Elizabeth conceived. The 26th verse says, and in the sixth month, underline that word, sixth month. And we go on and we read about the visit from the angel Gabriel announcing on Mary. That let's read it in the 35th verse. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power, dunamis, of the highest shall overshadow. Means to cover thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And in the 36th verse, it says, and behold, he's given her more news, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For, hallelujah, with God nothing is impossible. And the 39th verse says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth had heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. How old was that which was in Elizabeth's womb when Mary had gotten the news that she was to conceive by the Holy Ghost, by the power of the highest? 6 months. Here's the investigation. Now, please understand, that the Hebrew calendar is different than our calendar. Our calendar is governed by the earth's movement around the sun. The Hebrew calendar is governed by the moon's movement around the earth. That in the Hebrew calendar, there was 28 days, not a variance of 28 to 31 days. But there is enough which is revealed where we may see God's absolute faithfulness. For God is not a man, as Numbers 23:19 says, that he should lie, nor the Son of Man, that he should repent. As he said, so shall he do. As he has spoken, so shall it be. We're talking about the Feast of Trumpets. We're talking about that time wherein two silver trumpets blew on this day of the Feast of Trumpets. Two silver trumpets, the type of redemption, the feast day, the Feast of Trumpets, the set time of trumpets. It says that in the fullness of time, the Colossian letter says, God sent forth his Son. In God's time. And God has given us in his word a calendar. So let's look at the calendar. If the order, not if, the order of the priesthood, there were 24, each served 2 weeks. That's the 48-week Hebrew calendar. Begins on another set time of God, the Passover. And for general speaking terms, we could say the Passover begins, say, the middle of March. Okay? I hope you're with me. So if we go to the middle of April, that's two orders. If we go to the middle of May, that's four orders. If we go to the middle of June, that's six orders. If we go to the middle of July, that ends the eighth order of Abijah, of which Zechariah in which Zechariah served in the temple. He gets this news. There's going to be a child between he and Elizabeth. He's happy. And he runs home, and the conception takes place there or about the middle of July. If we count from the middle of July, one, two, three, four, five, six. We come to the middle of January. That makes that infant, and I say infant, in the womb, or, you know, as King James puts it, the babe, that makes that babe which was to be named John, that makes him 6 months old. When Mary shows up, that babe leaped in her womb, that is, in Elizabeth's womb. We can count, that's the time wherewith God's Holy Spirit, covered the womb of Mary and through the woman's seed, which God, all the way back in Genesis 3, is impregnated by the Holy Ghost for with God nothing shall be impossible. So we have Mary conceiving in January. We go 3 months down the road, April, John is born. We go another 6 months down the road, and we come to September. Jesus is born. We're investigating the Word of God because as we do, we find out God does do what He says. And the whole Christian church teaches that Babylonian lie that Christ was born December 25th. Now, by doing that, that is teaching the pagan concept of the birth of Christ on December 25th, does that condemn everyone that teaches it to hell? No, it doesn't. The Word teaches that we overcome evil with good. Today, we're doing some good investigating. We're diligently seeking out truth. as opposed to the traditions of men, which so much of the church teaches in place of the Word of God. And therefore, in doing this investigating, we find out Christ is born in September. Now, obviously, because this Hebrew calendar, these feasts of God, these set times of God will vary with the calendar. Hear my words closely. I'm not about to get into that demon corruption of God's truth when I use the word astrology, but Jesus was a Virgo. Let me begin this segment of the teaching by saying, where all great truths of God are revealed, the devil is right there attempting to distort, to corrupt, to cover over the truths of God that he may separate, if it were possible, God's very elect from their faith. All the way back in the first chapter of Genesis, I believe it's, give me 1 second, the 14th verse. Let's read it. And God said, we're talking about the creation activities. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Underline that word, signs. What do you do when you come across a sign? You read it. God said he set the stars in the heavens for signs, and signs are to be read. Let's go to Psalm 19. I'm trying to just give you a little foundation. I apologize, folks, for my shortcomings as a teacher. I had a wonderful teacher who spent thousands on thousands of hours teaching me. I'm trying to deliver to you some of that which I have received. I know it's not totally complete. I'm trying to give you a gestalt, an overview, that through a look at the whole forest, that through the forest we may be able to see the trees, the truth of God. The 19th verse says, the heavens, that's the subject, declare the glory of God. day unto day uttereth, listen to this, uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. It says, no speech, nor language. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The line. The line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The sixth verse says, his going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid. What are we talking about here, folks? We're talking about, what's God talking about? He's talking about the zodiac, those 12 constellations corrupted by that which is called astrology, corrupted by the god of this world, attempting to hide the truth of God and his faithfulness. The beginning understanding of that corruption is the suggestion of astrology is the beginning of those signs that are to be read is to be with Aries. No, no, no. Feast of Trumpets, beginning of the year. Beginning of the civil new year. What's the sign in the heaven? It is Virgo. How do we know this? Oh. Dr. Scott used to teach on the Great Pyramid in Egypt. That which is called the Pyramid of Cheops or Khufu. I'm grasping for words because the subject is so vast. But contained in the pyramids are the building blocks of the universe. And alongside that great pyramid, the only one that cannot be reconstructed with all of man's knowledge, with all of man's tools, cannot be reconstructed. Alongside that pyramid is that which is called the Sphinx. It appears to most men to be a mystery. Go along with me here. That I had the thousands of hours and the knowledge and the ability to speak and teach like my teacher, but he dinned into me these things that the best I can do is share them with you. This Sphinx, what is it? It's the head of a woman, the body of a lion. It is the directional for reading these signs in heaven. It starts with Virgo. It ends with Leo. And under these 12 signs, or included with these 12 signs of the zodiac, What am I saying, folks? I'm saying, or what am I about to say? God wrote his gospel in the stars. And that which he wrote in the stars is manifest from cover to cover in his word. It's the Feast of Trumpets which Christ was born. It is in the time of that sign which is called Virgo. Backing up for a second, having looked, and there are books you can read, you can buy the book, The Gospel and the Stars by Joseph Seiss. Raymond Capt wrote a book, The Glory of the Stars. It's a recapitulation of this book. You can find it at Artisan Publishing. It's a $10 book. If you want it, if you don't already have it and you want it, leave me a comment. Leave me a phone number and or an address, and I'll send you a copy. I don't have time to go through the whole subject. But here is the gestalt. God set these stars, and he set them for signs. And wherever you go, whatever ancient society you may visit, anywhere in the world, by different names they're called, but the root all have the same picture. Now here's the amazing thing. If you connect the dots in these constellations, you cannot draw by connecting the dots the picture that the whole world agrees is there. How is that? By that fact, it is confirmed that God's word is true, because it indicates a source of common knowledge. Now, these progenitors of ours who lived before the flood, they lived for hundreds and hundreds of years. And, you know, I'm 68 years old. I'm still learning, like Paul says, now we know in part. But I'm a lot smarter today at 68 than I was at 18. I can't even begin to imagine how smart I'd be if I lived to be 700 or 800 or 900 years old, as many of these did. And by their lives and by their knowledge, Adam walked and talked with God. He lived for over 900 years. And our first father had knowledge. He had knowledge. And with his descendants, he shared the knowledge. And the source of the common knowledge of God was our first father. And the whole world sees that which is there but cannot be seen by connecting the dots. But there's no argument of the meaning of the sign. And the sign we're talking about today is the sign of Virgo. And with Virgo comes three what are called decans, or like decks of a ship. They expand the meaning and purpose. And the whole world sees a woman lying prostrate. And the whole world recognizes that this is a virgin. Isaiah tells us, in the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, that is, God with us. Now, the constellation is called Virgo, but the principal stars in that constellation are not focused on the woman, but what the woman brings forth. In one hand, she's bearing seed. In another hand, she has a branch. Christ, our branch. Christ, the seed of God. The woman is prostrate. She's helpless. Just like all of us. But by the Spirit of God, life is formed within her. And it produces that one whose name is to be called Jesus. That is God, our helper. God, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I'm going to wrap this up. I hope you can, put your mind into overdrive and get this picture. These decans that go along with this constellation called Virgo, these other constellations that are part of that first book, the beginning of the signs of the Lord, of the signs of God which are to be read. The first decan is called Coma. Coma, it is a picture of a woman sitting, holding, dawdling, if you will, a child on her lap. And the principal star of that constellation is called Coma. Haggai 2:7 says, God will send forth the desire of all nations. That's the meaning of the word Coma. It's not the woman being adored. It is that's being called the desire of all nations. Mary, who rightfully is called the mother of God, because God requiring that which can redeem has to be kinned with us. Blessed she was, but in the same sinful, helpless, as evidenced by the prostrate woman, cannot sit up on her own. Helpless as we are, is not to be worshipped or even in so many cases replacing God. If you have an ear, I hope God lets you hear this. But that first decan, coma, principal star in the child, the desire of the nations. Of the seed of the woman, God said all the way back in Genesis. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. He's born on the set time of God, the feast day, the feast of trumpets. The second decan of this first book called Virgo, of the signs that God sent or set around us, signs to be read, the second decan in this book is called Centaurus, or the Centaur. I'll make it very simple, folks. The understanding throughout the whole world is that picture of a man's head, shoulders, and upper torso, and the rest is that of a horse, and it indicates a two-natured one. We have something never before, something new, never before seen in history. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. It's a paradox, but it is pictured in this centaur, this two-natured being, man and God. I love it. He's not elevating man, but that picture is that highest of his creation, the man. And what we truly have as a result of the fall of our forefathers, our forefather Adam and mother Eve, removed from God, now pictured as a horse, and most explicitly a horse's ass. He took upon our sinful nature, fully God, fully man, but he knew no sin. And as that story in mythology develops, I'm not teaching mythology here. I'm trying to teach a common source of knowledge that only can be identified as witnessing the truth of God, that there was a common source of knowledge in the mythology. It is said that he was pierced with an arrow not intended for himself. And though immortal, he chose to die that others may live. Jesus. Thank you, Father. The third decan in this constellation, known as Virgo, is that which is called Boötes, the coming one. God has preserved his word through that people that he chose, that we might have a straight story and not all the myths created by uncontrolled human minds, or better put, under the control of other than God, designed to cover up the reality of the truth that God has put forth. Boötes, it means the coming one. This day, the Feast of Trumpets, is the day. That the Virgin conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the day that that conjoining of God with the seed of the woman, that Jesus Christ is born into this world, the desire of the nations. He's a two-natured one, and this Boötes says he's the coming one. Because there were two silver trumpets blown on that Feast of Trumpets. Silver, the type of redemption. Christ, the two-natured one, now kin with us and having the perfect life, offered himself that we, sinners though we are, might be redeemed. The scripture declares that God treated his son as we deserve to be treated in order that he might treat us as his son deserves to be treated. The coming one. The picture is a man with a spear in one hand and a sickle in the other. He's a harvester and an avenger. Jesus Christ came into this world on the Feast of Trumpets. He's coming back again on the Feast of Trumpets. He will take that which he paid the price for, the redeemed, the people of faith, away and after. Come. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he came first as suffering servant that he might redeem us. He's going to come again to take his people home and then pour out his wrath upon this earth. That doesn't mean he's going to destroy the earth. There's another feast day, another set time. We've talked on it. I'm not going to go into it. Will you with me praise God with a partial, but by the teaching, expanded knowledge of God, enough wherein you and I can trust him regardless of a circumstance that we find ourselves in, because God's word declares nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is faithful, folks. Be thou faithful. And that's the God School for today.